This is the crossover. Hosted by Chris Brockman.
Crossover. All right, welcome to the crossover ROFFL edition. We're getting ready for week four in the National Football League and in the ROFFL. Now, I'm going to look at the standings before I bring in my guest here. Three teams are currently 3-0. Navi, Parker, Scott, who have a combined 5 championships among them, including last year's winner, Scott. We have 4 2-1 teams. We have 4 1-2 teams. And there's 3 beautiful people at the bottom at 0-3. One of them, my guest, Jay Cantor. I'm guessing you, me, and Jason hate their teams more than anyone in the league. But you're averaging 81.2 points per game this year through 3 weeks. And so I'm guessing that you hate your team the most, true or false?
I would be amazed if anybody has hated their team more in the 13 years that we've been doing this. I can't imagine anybody had more hatred for their own team than I have for my team right now. It's Nazi level hate we're at this point.
Where do we begin with your team? You lost 109 to 62 this week against Brian. Brian almost outscored you on Thursday night last week with Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy.
I was afraid that was going to happen after the first half of the football that I was watching. I was really afraid when Finley went out with a concussion. Finley, who I think was the only semi-decent pick I made in the draft. When he went out in the first quarter with a concussion, I was pretty positive that those two guys were going to outscore my team. In fact, I think they outscored everybody but Brady. Like, so if you had taken Brady off my team, they outscored everybody else, or at least tied them.
Yeah, if you take out Tom Brady, you've got 40 points.
And they scored more than 40.
And they have 40.9, so they would have beaten you, the 40.1 to 40.9. Kaepernick scores 4 points. Probably safe to say he won't score that low the rest of the season. Zerline has 1. So 2 of his 9 guys have 5 points, and he beats you by 47. This is the thing. You asked me to come on last week. We tried to make it happen. Couldn't. Okay? Right. So this week, hoping both of us would get a win, we would have something positive to talk about. Alas, we don't. Now, my question for you is this. Are you in some way, shape, or form going to try to blame me for your 0-3 start after I said, after the Patriots' third preseason game, you have to keep Aaron Donald?
Second
preseason game, excuse me.
Yeah.
That I texted you, you have to keep Amendola. I basically just... I threw it at you and said, if you don't do this, you are the biggest moron ever. You're an idiot. I'm kicking you out. Are you going to try to do that, or are you going to take most of the responsibility for your own team's failure so far?
This is blatantly my fault. I had in the entire season, as soon as Amendola had signed with the Patriots, I had it in my mind that I'm going to keep both of those guys. You can confirm this with Kiss. Kiss and I had been talking all summer, and I said, I'm keeping Brady and Amendola, and Kiss had sent me a text message of the photo weeks after Amendola had signed with New England of the two of them practicing at the university. And
okay.
I was like, I'm keeping these two guys, and I'm gonna take the Brockman double points move.
I love it.
Under the presumption that...
You know that I love that move. I invented that move
in
2003 with Torrey Holt and Mark Bulger.
Right. You invented that and the boat race.
I did.
Those are your things.
Those are yours. That's the thrill of
nobody gets their hands on that. But I said, you know what? And I always sort of agree with that, but my thought process was Amendola just catches passes. Touchdowns are not how he's going to get most of his points. All that stuff is going to be gravy. So even if it's a bad day, Brady can connect with him 9 times without a touchdown, and that's still something.
Right. It's still 12 to 13 points a week, basically.
Right, exactly. And that was my rationale. And then I had, over the summer on my honeymoon, I had convinced myself, finally, based on 3 magazines that I take with me to Aruba, you know what? I could be wrong about this, and I'm going to keep Randall Cobb. And I had decided in Aruba that I was going to keep Randall Cobb.
So you had flip-flopped.
By the way, on the record,
congratulations on the marriage, man. Couldn't be more proud or happy for you. So glad that we were there. Move on.
It was my honor to have everybody there. I hope everybody had a great time. And for those that couldn't make it, we miss them. But I hope everybody had fun.
Now, you're in Aruba. You're newly married. You're supposed to be having the newlywed sex, which is supposed to be awesome. But you have 3 fantasy magazines with you?
Well, I mean, there was plenty of time for newlywed sex, but we were on the beach. I mean, and at this point, we're together for 4.5. We're together for 4 years. And there's not much conversation left. So
you know, the conversation's over at this point.
Conversation's done at this point. We have, you know, I mean, nobody's talking to anybody. It's a private beach. There's no kids allowed, so it's really quiet. Everybody's sort of in the same relaxation. Let's read a book and just enjoy the weather.
Excellent.
Phase. Everybody's on the same page.
Sure.
So, of course, I bought 3 magazines I read every word of every magazine. I convinced myself, you know, I looked at, you know, mock drafts and stuff, and I read, and I had Cobb last year, obviously, and he was great. And I was like, you know what? Everything says that Cobb is better, and it's me that I want Amendola. But everybody says Cobb is better. You know what? I'm just gonna take Cobb, and maybe I can draft Amendola in the first round. Never really once thinking, why don't I just keep both of these guys? I really didn't even think about it.
And ditch Tom Brady.
I had him for 2 years. I made the playoffs both years. I don't care what anybody says about the depth at quarterback. Kaepernick's garbage. Luck has not been as good as Brees and Rodgers. There is an upper, and Manning, of course, there is an upper echelon of quarterbacks that are better than everybody else.
There is.
You know, there's something to be said. I mean, look what Manning did on Monday. I mean, there's something to be said to have a guy like Peyton Manning on your team. He's better than Luck and Stafford, and there's not even close. So I wanted Brady. I mean, I obviously underestimated how terrible his receivers are without Amendola.
Yeah.
But of course, I was banking on Amendola being healthy. It was a bad bet, but that was when I was betting my entire season on was Amendola being healthy. And obviously,
which
that was
coming into the season, people would have probably thought you were crazy for doing that.
And now looking back,
that he's missed the last 2 weeks, you're definitely crazy for having done that.
It was a bad bet, and I convinced myself in Aruba, and then I had said, you know what? I convinced myself I really do want Amendola, and I got home, and then week 2 of the preseason happened, which is a week after I'd gotten back from Aruba, and he had essentially what I thought he'd be doing all season, and Brady locked in on him, and it was just he's clearly as good of a receiver as Welker is when he's healthy. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to keep Amendola. And then I got your text message, and then it was like, oh, I can't disappoint Brockman. So
that first drive was like, boom, 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 boom. Great catch for a touchdown. And I lost it. I dropped the biggest load in my pants, and I said, and I texted you immediately, and I said, you have to keep him. He is going to be a super duper star, you know, a better Wes Welker. But everyone said that he couldn't stay healthy, and I was just, I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to listen to it. I thought he was just amazing. And he's missed the last 2 weeks.
He's missed the last 2 weeks. There are reports, there's some positive reports, but I'm certainly not banking on Amendola. Unfortunately, I'm not banking on Amendola to be there week 4. But you know what, though? Forget Amendola, because I have won, and I've made the playoffs with the worst keepers in the history of the league. And I won with Burleson and Galloway as keepers.
That's true.
It's not just that Amendola is terrible. It's that I whiffed on every pick after that also. And
what I mean, if you look at your draft right now, the guy who I passed on is probably your best draft pick, Alfred Morris.
Morris is at least the one guy where I can say, I mean, he has three catches, but he's the one guy at least I can say, you know what, he's good for 100 yards and a touchdown every week. He's without a doubt a keeper. You know, like, at least I know I can keep him. I'm probably going to have an early draft pick next year. I mean, probably. Now it's just a matter of if week four is to give up. I mean, if for some reason I lose week four, I mean, then I start giving up on, like, David Wilson and everybody's up for grabs. That's sort of where I have to go, because now at this point, the only guy that's pretty much untradeable is Alfred Morris, because I know I can keep him next year.
Right.
If I have the first pick in the draft, I'm taking Calvin Johnson probably, unless something crazy happens. So at that point, it's just, you know, do I keep another running back, or who can give me a good running back or a good wide receiver worth keeping for something else?
Right. I will trade you Steven Ridley for Danny Amendola.
Ridley might be the worst, though. He might be worse than
Amendola. Like, in hindsight, okay, my first round pick was, I had a mock draft, and I thought there would be four guys here that I could possibly take, and I would be happy with all of them. And at my spot, two of the guys were there. Alfred Morris and Steven Ridley, who I convinced myself much earlier in the summer that I would be happy taking. Now that I actually had to choose one of them, you just don't want to make the wrong choice with your first round pick. And through 3 weeks, I have 100% unequivocally made the wrong choice. Like, looking back on it, you're like, why would I even possibly think to take Steven Ridley? Look what Alfred Morris did last year. Although, however, my posting last week, you know, my math was spot on, as you will attest.
Yes, exponentials.
So late in the year, everyone just look out, because I'm just going to set every record for scoring imaginable.
Well, actually, if we can look at this for a second, I guess this would be interesting. I guess I beat you on this, but if we look at the top three, you kept Matt Ryan and Maurice Jones-Drew, and you drafted Ridley. I kept Brady and Amendola, and I drafted Morris. Now, one of my players doesn't play Amendola, and I still think that might be a better three because of how bad Maurice Jones-Drew.
Well, yeah. Well, Matt Ryan might be outscoring all three of your guys.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Matt Ryan outscores my entire team.
Like, Matt Ryan, through 3 weeks, has 75 points.
Yeah, you got
that. There
you go.
So let's do this. My top three picks through 3 weeks. Let's see. There's 83. Jones-Drew somehow got a touchdown this week, but of course I didn't play him. I chose to pick up and start Willis McGahee just for s and giggles, because. Who knows?
Why not?
But he did lead the Browns in carries last week. So,
right? Do we have seven carries?
Nine carries, seven for zero or negative yards. So my top three picks have 101 points. Your top three has 60 and 30. That's 90. And 10, 100. We're even. Our top three picks are even. Which, I guess, is no secret why we are in 13th and 14th place.
I mean, I think it's a storyline that people are going to have to follow all year, because which one of us is going to... I mean, I am way behind in points right now. By the way, for the record, Manning has 120 points.
I was just going to say, Parker's number one keeper, Peyton Manning, has outscored both of our teams by 14 points.
I'm a little embarrassed.
Parker has 165 points more than you.
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed. I had a good run, but this is a pretty embarrassing. But what's funny is that, you know, Jason and I had, we took the bus together. We had a whole long conversation.
On the way back from the weekend, correct? On the way back.
On the way back from Baltimore, yep. Yep. On the way back from Baltimore. We had a 3-hour conversation about how there are two picks in the draft that are undefensibly the worst picks that we've ever seen. And none of it came from my team, even though I can make certain claims that David Wilson might be in Quentin Griffin rich kid territory.
David Wilson is a pretty bad pick right now, 3 weeks in.
David Wilson doesn't look good. Lance Moore has 3 catches, I think. The only thing with Lance Moore is that I wanted to take Miles Austin, and he already has hamstring issues, which is the reason why I didn't take him. But we said that Russell Wilson was the worst pick of the draft, without a doubt.
I mean, where Dave took Russell Wilson?
Well, that's what made it bad. I forgot what round. I think he took him in the 4th or 5th round. But what made it such a bad pick is that
Russell Wilson, round 5.
Round 5. What made that pick so bad is that I think everybody else, and I, you know, this is just maybe because I studied too much or I looked over towards it, but what made the pick so bad to me was that it was very clear that there was the next 3 quarterbacks off the board were going to be Stafford, Luck, and Griffin. So that if he wanted Wilson, he could have just taken whomever he wanted in that spot and just grabbed Wilson next.
Right.
Like, it was, if Wilson's the guy that he wants, and I'm always for it, and Dave does this well. He just takes the guys that he wants, and, you know,
he just takes
guys like Gronkowski that year.
Also taken in the 5th round, okay? DeShaun Jackson, Andrew Luck went in the 5th round, Tony Gonzalez, Vernon Davis, Tavon Austin, T.Y. Hilton, Josh Gordon, Mike Wallace, and Lamar Miller. Your 4th round.
And then on the way back around, all those guys you could have gotten also.
Robert Griffin, so, Ryan Matthews, Stafford. You took Lance Moore in the 6th on the way back. Bradshaw, which Parker now has both indie running backs. Ben Jarvis, Stevie, Monty Ball, Sidney Richardson, Romo went. So he could have waited even more and got Romo.
Yeah.
So the 3 quarterbacks plus Tony Romo went after Russell Wilson, so he could have got Russell Wilson in round 7.
Right. So that was my point, is that those guys all would have went off before Russell. So he kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit. So I thought that was just the worst pick. The other one that I thought was just a heinous pick was Reggie Wayne, which I feel bad about now. But
yeah, because Mark passed on a running back to take Reggie Wayne in the 1st round, which. I mean, the joke is on all of us who took running backs not named LeSean McCoy in the 1st round.
Right. And I feel like it's so obvious that the wide receivers win. The wide receivers make you win in this league. That I don't know why I thought it was such a bad pick. I guess I just thought that it was clear to me that it was amazing that Alfred Morris was just going to drop like that.
Right.
All the way down to me. I mean, Morris, who has not been outstanding this year, at least he's a very good number one, and I think he'll finish the season fine. And I just figured, you know what? He has the 2 wide receivers. We had Rodgers and Marshall. I thought, you know what? He would have gotten Walker anyway in the next round. Or I think he would have been able to get Wayne in the next round. So I just was surprised that he had taken him there, and I thought, again, because he had taken Wayne where I think he could have gotten equal value to Wayne in the next round. You know, but what do I know? Because Ben Jarvis now probably has more fantasy points than Alfred Morris right now. So, I mean, but those were the 2 picks that we looked, Jason and I were like, these are the worst picks of the draft. Not the Giovanni Bernard pick, but those 2 picks are like, only because if you wanted those guys, you could have waited around and gotten them.
Right.
And it was early in the draft. So we were like, those are the worst. And I don't know what the F I'm talking about, because my team is...
Right. The 2 men having that conversation
are
12th. And 14th, respectively, and the 14th team is on the phone right now with the 13th ranked team. So, clearly, we don't know anything because
I just whiffed. So I mean, it's, you know what? You gotta own it. Like the first couple of weeks, I was really, really upset. Like just very angry, and like you don't want to finish last. There's a sense of pride to
you
it.
Definitely
I,
don't want
year,
to finish last. But you have worn the toilet bowl in the past.
I have. I've finished last, and you know what it is? It's like it's sort of part of it is like, you know, it wipes out a little bit like the championship. But I don't even think of it that way anymore. have good runs. Like most of the time I make the playoffs. And it's just things like this happen. It's just my times to be bad. I made so many mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like I'm okay right now. My team is projected to score a lot more. Not a lot more, but more points than a lot of other teams, which makes me feel a little bit good. Like again, like you win this draft, you win the league with like later. I like Kendall Wright. I'm going to be feeling pretty good about starting him. I'm hoping that Amendola comes back. Like there's a part of me that's like still a little bit. Like, amazingly, I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm playing, champion and 3-0 guy, Scott Watson this week, but there's a part of me that's still a little excited about my team, like...
Me too.
I'm not throwing in the towel, like, I've been getting trade offers out, like, crazy. I got a trade offer, like, the Jared Blas, I hope he listens, but he's not going to, so I can say this, the Jared Blas trade offer of, I think it was Hakeem Nicks for Alfred Morris.
Knicks, by the way. Knicks coming off of a goose egg in week 3. No points. Did not score.
Right. So just insanity. But, like, those kind of trades make me laugh. I know that people are going to try to take advantage of me because, and in a couple of weeks, they might be able to. But right now, I'm gonna keep the guys that I have. I watched the Giants game. I watched that debacle of the Giants game. And... David Wilson, when he had even just an ounce of space, looked pretty good. And they just killed him with penalties. I'm like, if Amendola comes back this week and I can start him in place of Marlon Brown, and I can start Hilton, Amendola, and Kendall Wright, and maybe Le'Veon Bell is good, maybe I have him. I mean, he might be good. I don't know, there's a chance that I can... I just haven't given up yet.
If you want to hang your hat on anything that me, you, and Jason could potentially hang our hat on, it's last year's champion, Scott Watson, after 3 weeks, was in the very same spot we are right now. 0-3.
I was 0-3 last year, and I finished 4th.
0-3.
It's not,
5 seconds.
It's not the end of the world.
0-3 for the second straight season. I, conversely, I started 3-0 last year. So it means absolutely nothing. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I guess, if anything, we can hang our hat on that. I lost 3 of the last 4 games last year. You won 3 of the last 4 last year. You actually had a streaky season. 0-3, 4-0, 0-2, 3-0, heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I should have beaten Rich in the semifinals with the Tennessee's defense against the Jets on I think Sunday Night Football. Scored him like 35 points or something like that, and I lost on that. And ironically enough, Rich lost on defense the following week right after Seattle in the championship.
In 2011. I started 0-4 and made it to the championship game. So anything can happen. As I've said time and time again, fantasy football, 98% luck, 2% setting yourself up for good luck. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know when injuries are going to occur. And touchdowns, big plays, it could happen like that. So... if we're trying to pep talk ourselves right now, I'm going to pat you on the back and I'm going to say, hey, this week is a new week. Thursday night football, San Francisco and St. Louis on NFL Network. Tune in because you never know what's going to happen.
I'm very excited and I agree. I think it's not over yet. This week you're playing Nick. You actually scored less than I did last week. If I was playing Nick, I would have won.
That's the other thing. I'm also at the point where if I don't win this week, I'm going to basically have a fire sale.
I am very close to fire. I'm very close to fire sale.
I'm very close to the Rich Kiss patented September fire sale. So, for all the 3 people listening,
If Brock and I lose this week, it's an everything must go situation. just send us one keeper. We'll send you like two-thirds of the team or whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know who they'll
find. Anything back in return. Let's look at the schedule. When do we play each other? Week 9.
Oh.
Look out.
Oh, no.
We both could be 0-8. The battle for the toilet bowl could be in week 9, everybody. So get...
That would be exciting. Do we have any idea when either of us are playing Jason?
I play Jason week 13, so there's a chance I could be 1-11 or 0-12 at that point. You play Jason. Loading. Where is this? Why won't this load?
I got it in week 6.
Son of a bitch. Oh, wow, even sooner.
Yeah, that is very close.
Even sooner, the battle for Staten Island and last place.
Battle for Staten Island is a bowl, man.
In the ROFFL. Jason has Josh this week, who picked up his first win with a monster showing against Rich this week. Let's take a look at the league as a whole. As I mentioned off the top, Navi, Parker, 2 championships each. Scott, last year's title, all at 3-0. Navi and Parker have scored over 400 points. Along with Josh as the highest scoring teams in the league. When you look at the standings, like, what surprises you? What leaps out? And what did you expect? Or is any of it as you expected?
I don't think anybody was surprised that Parker's team is playing as well. I think you know, Navi hit on a lot of his picks. You know, the Joy Bell pick worked out really well already. He saw the future with Reggie Bush. And, you know, everybody was – and the Cameron pick was probably the best pick in the draft, I want to say.
Yeah, it's probably,
you know, just waiting and waiting and waiting. I mean, and Jordan Cameron is definitely one of the best picks in the draft. He's going to be, I mean, you know, Giovanni Bernard will eventually be starting for Cincinnati. So being able to plug him in, I'm not surprised with that. I'm certainly not surprised. Those three guys that are on the top there are normally in the playoffs and doing well. That's what doesn't surprise me. I'm a little surprised that Jason's team is doing so poorly. He should have won week one. I mean, you think about it, like, Jason has more points than Scott. And so Scott's been lucky, to say the least. You know, he didn't score too many points this week when he beat Mark. He didn't score too many points when he beat... he didn't have a great week in week one. He got pretty lucky. So, you know, he's just getting lucky, which I guess, you know, it's funny because the guys that I've been playing, with the exception of Mark in week one, you know, Jarrett and Brian both didn't have really strong weeks, and I'm losing. And that, to me, is, like, the worst.
Right, that's just being unlucky. That's being unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And Scott had... Scott, I know, had a rough week in week one, and he didn't have a strong week in week three. So I guess, it's just the luck of it. But you know what? I'd rather be 3-0 than 0-3. I'm surprised that Mark's team was so good. I thought that running backs mattered a little bit. Apparently they don't at all. I think Jarrett has a great team. I think Jarrett's team is going to be... Jarrett, you know, beats up on himself all the time, but I think Jarrett's team is really, really good. And I think Jarrett's going to have a top 14 by the end of the year. He's got, you know, take up Julius Thomas early. He's going to get Steven Jackson back. He has... you know, Josh Gordon, who's, you know, a beast, and Julio Jones and Stafford's been good. Stafford's been bad. I think
he beat me this week, and he's got to start both of his backup running backs.
Yeah,
I mean, that Julius Thomas pickup might be one of the top pickups of the year.
Yeah, you know, but he also has Gates, who's been pretty good. Gates has got 15 catches this year. You know, I mean, I thought Jared did a great job. He was crapping on his draft, but I thought he did a pretty good job. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets... I think the interesting thing is talking about teams that are 1-2 and below and are still probably going to get in. And clearly, Lucan's team is that team.
Yeah, he's got second most points, showing Navi by 1 and change. if he could just start picking up some wins. He's one of those teams where if he finishes the year with only 6 wins, he'll get in based on points. And even he might be a 5-win team, the first ever 5-win team to make the playoffs based on his point total so far. If we become a truly true top half, top heavy league where there's no
could happen. I mean, his wide receivers are pretty
outstanding. It could happen. Oh, and no question, his team is loaded. I mean, Cam Newton finally played last week, which helped him. Get the win, but you're talking about Matt Forte, you're talking about DeSean Jackson and A.J. Green, who both have over 50 points, because he has guys who are getting in the end zone, which we...
Yeah, see, that's the exact opposite of us right now.
We are a touchdown-heavy league, and his guys are making plays in the end zone.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Nick's team is as bad as it is. I mean, like, I thought he did it okay. I mean, like, some of those picks were atrocious, but, you know, I mean, as long as he has, you know, Andre Johnson and Adrian Peterson and Jason Witten, I thought he was gonna be okay, but you know, this is what Nick does every year. He grabs some guys that would have been great on a team 5 years ago.
But yeah, he has three, Miles Austin, he Peter has Smith, Andre three Johnson. Studs, though, with Peterson, Witten, and Andre Johnson. Like, Andre Johnson has 25 catches.
Yeah, like, no touchdowns,
but he still has 42 points. The problem is he's not getting much help out of Carson Palmer right now.
Yeah, and
Nick really waited on the quarterback, and it's...
and Dalton's the better start again. I think he's going to make a switch there. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts Dalton.
I would imagine Dalton will get the start this week against Cleveland, but... I'm playing Nick this week, so please, by all means, keep in Carson Palmer.
Tampa's, I mean, this could be Shiano's last game. I mean,
oh gosh, what's going on in Tampa?
They're
right
playing
now
for coach.
Is a disaster.
Playing for coach, though.
A disaster.
Can I make a quick sidetrack to some movies just real fast? Just a couple of quick predictions.
Sure. By the way, I saw Prisoners over the weekend. Have you seen it?
No, I heard it killed at Toronto. In Toronto,
well,
I was
fantastic. It was a little too long. It's checking in at 2:26. It could have been 2:05 and still would have been great, but it was very strong. Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal destroyed, Melissa Leo destroyed. Really intense movie. Intense. Literally from the 10-minute mark on.
Alright, I'm in on that. I read great things and I like the cast, so I'm in on Prisoners. I gotta see it. Did you see, this is what I was going to say. This is the easiest prediction of the year. Calling it right now.
Okay.
The lock. Money in the bank.
All right.
Take it home. Go to Vegas and put money on it now. But Kate Blanchett's going to win Best Actress.
For what film?
For Blue Jasmine.
Have not seen it. Is it good?
It is. It's great. It's not like the best movie I've ever seen. It's great. And it contains one of the best performances by a female ever. That's how good she is in this movie.
That's strong. That's high praise.
It's high praise, my friend. But it is so true. She is insane, like, unlike streak level good. It's a lock. It is a mortal lock.
So we're giving her a pass on Indiana Jones 4, is what you're saying.
I'm giving her a pass on that and the film Bandits with Billy Bob Thornton and Bruce Willis.
Okay.
You see that movie? That's not a great movie.
No. What else? I'm trying to think what else have I seen. What else have you seen recently that was good? Blue Jasmine I wanted to see. Bobby Cannavale, who took home the Emmy this year, did the Eisen podcast, which I'm on. Great guy. He was in Blue Jasmine, correct?
He was. And he was good in it, too.
Yeah.
He had a good-sized role. He was good. Dice Clay was good.
What are you watching right now for television? Are you geeked up about Breaking Bad? Do you get into that?
I am a huge Breaking Bad.
Okay, all right, well, I guess I'm just really starting to get into it. I binge watched. I watched season one a few years ago. I watched season three last week. Season two last week in like 3 days, and I'm in the middle of season three right now.
I think season 3 is my favorite season. Is that? Did you see any Twins yet?
No, not yet. What just happened? The strange Mexican duo. They're like trying to hunt down Walt right now.
Okay. Those guys, the big guys?
Yeah, the big guys with like the snake.
Yeah, those are the twins. Those are the twins.
Oh yeah, those are the twins. Okay, yeah, they're looking for Walt right now. They were just in his house. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and then they just got the text message, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
They got the text message, Polo, and they left. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. It is, season 3 is, it was the best season until the last 7 episodes of television, which have been outstanding. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, no, that's what everyone has said. So I'm very excited to get all the way caught up. I thought maybe I could do it in 2 weeks and watch everything. Clearly that was wishful thinking. But if I could finish season 3 this week, you know, there's a chance I could get all the way caught up in like a month.
Yeah, and then you can. I mean, I guess you can Amazon it, right? You can just buy the last season on Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, I think Rich said that AMC is just going to show them on a loop all weekend, so I'm going to have to like clear some DVR space, and then
you should pop in a VCR and just, you know, tape it
and record the last. I'd have to go buy a VCR, which would be. I mean, do they sell those anymore?
I don't think they sell them. By the way, with Rich, it's worth mentioning that even though I love Rich and I want nothing but the best for him, Tim not having a good team is good for the league.
Oh, Rich Kiss. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Rich Kiss. I'm sorry. Yeah, Rich.
Yeah.
Him not having a good team is good for the league.
I mean, he's got less points than he actually has the second least points in the league right now. But he managed to get that week one win, and his team, outside of Drew Brees, not good.
Yeah, pretty bad. For good reason, with Vincent Jackson and no touchdowns, that team's terrible.
Sanders, Pittsburgh's terrible. Yeah. Wallace is on a good team, but I'm not sure that he's good.
Only had one good week. Ryan Matthews, he's learning the hard way how bad Ryan Matthews is. And Jared Cook, I mean, he had that great week one, which is probably why he pulled off the win.
Right, right.
But the Roddy White injury, he's not signing
on. In hindsight, I'm glad I did not win that waiver claim for James Starks.
Has that happened to you? I'm glad I didn't win for Eddie Royal. I would have started him this weekend and gotten nothing.
Right, exactly. I put in a claim for both those guys, did not get them, and I couldn't be happier about not getting them.
Yeah, the only guy that I was sort of semi-happy with is I got Marlon Brown. I was okay with that, although this past week he did nothing. But out of curiosity, don't tell me who it is, obviously. But do you have a waiver claim in right now?
No, but I'm guessing that everyone's probably got one for Donnie Avery.
Probably right, Donnie Avery.
I'm guessing. But if you look at the guys, see, you and I are in good waiver spots.
We got the number one, Jared.
Jared,
I feel, is going to be very protective of that number one spot.
Mark has number two. I guess I could get Donnie Avery right now if I wanted him. I'm guessing Mark.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mark goes for him again. Mark drafted him.
Mark drafted Donnie Avery. That's correct.
Right, and then drop them.
It's one of those things, like, do you get him and then do you play him? I'm actually quite satisfied. My receivers have kind of been better than I thought they were going to be, so.
Well, that's what Scott Watson said. Well, the first week of the season, Scott Watson, I was at Scott's place, and he said to me, because I had mentioned, we had mentioned that somebody's going to try to pick up Marlon Brown because of the Jacoby injury. And he said, are you going to start him if you make a waiver claim? And at that point, Amendola was not injured, so this was the first 5 minutes of football.
Right.
And I said, no. So he's like, why would you make a claim for him then? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm not going to start him next week. Why am I going to make a claim? And then Amendola did get hurt 5 minutes later, and that's when I made that claim.
Right. I mean, I think at this point, with the way that now that we have the waivers, which Parker texted this to me and said, it now makes Wednesday mornings very exciting to see who put in claims, who gets whom, But unless he's going to immediately go into your starting lineup, that's why I put in one for James Starks, because with Jones-Drew very injured and playing at Seattle, I needed a running back to start.
Right.
So which is why I ended up just starting McGahee, just because Jones-Drew, I'm at my wit's end with MJD right now. But he ended up scoring a touchdown in garbage time. Not that it would have gotten me the win. If that would have gotten me a win, had I played him, I'd be I'd be infinitely more upset. But it's just the sheer kind of like spit in my face of him getting a touchdown after he has been so bad this year and last.
It's almost like specifically they're going after you. Like these players are on millions of teams, but they're only attacking me.
Right, that's kind of the beauty of fantasy football, and that's the beauty of hating your fantasy football team, is because you feel like these guys are purposely trying to spite you by sucking.
Yeah, so it goes, man.
So it goes.
But it gets better. It gets better, Brock.
It gets better. Like I said, Scott started winless last year through 3 weeks and won the whole enchilada. And, you know, I started winless in 2011 and made it to the finals, so there is hope. What can we look forward to on What Good-Looking People Think this year? By the way, I like the second list. It's very exciting to see what the list is going to be.
Oh, well, it's just like a little something. I feel bad that I'm not putting, like, an insane amount of fun into it, but I feel like it's just like a little something. The second list this week, I've been thinking about it. I think I'm going to do the top seven and bottom seven sequels of all time.
I like it. I like where your head's at.
And not to just the second movies, just sequels in general. So Rocky V will make the bottom list.
Oh, okay. So just any sequel to a movie.
Right, yes.
Got it. Now Godfather 3 probably on the bottom list.
It will be in the running, for sure.
Excellent. Excellent.
For sure, yeah. And Godfather 2 obviously will top one.
Of course. Well,
but I will not reveal anything else.
Well, I'm glad that you're still doing it, because other people have stopped with their publications, so...
Yes. Well, you know, listen, life gets in the way.
It's not...
But nice, so it's like if I can
still
do a little bit.
You're still plugging forward.
Yeah, whatever.
He hates
I'm
his
sorry,
team.
I'm sorry, you, man. These podcasts are the greatest. I love these things. Dude, I mean, this is... And it's so much joy, like, there's no words to it. I mean, I certainly, like, I wish I was paying attention, because, you know, when I listen to the podcast, a majority of the time, I'm just waiting for that you and the person you're talking to talk about my team.
Right.
Like, that's all. I really am. I'm excited to hear that. Like, what do these people have to say about me?
Should we go through and run down every other team? I feel like we touched kind of on everybody here.
You do, but I always, I hope so. I hope we hit on most people, I hope people care enough that they actually care about it, but I think we did.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, I care a lot about my team. You care a lot about your team.
I do, so that's probably where we spend the day.
Do you think there's going to be any big blockbuster trades this season?
Looking at
the scope of the league now after 3 weeks?
You know what? I would be surprised if Navi stands pat, even though he's 3-0. I feel like he thinks he has to make a move. Jarrett's always going to try to pull something, although very few people deal with Jarrett trades. When I know that I'm out, my only objective is to keep Alfred Morris and try to get a keeper of some kind that's better than the current ones I have. So. If that means I have to trade a better wide receiver or running back to get a better running back or wide receiver, I will do that. So I'm not certainly opposed to making any deals. Hopefully, that Le'Veon Bell is good. And if he is, then that gives me a little bit of breathing room with running backs.
True.
And then I'll make a deal with that. I don't remember the last time. I remember the first couple of years in the league there was no trades, but...
Yeah,
I would be amazed if there are no big trades down the line.
I think they would too.
Seem to be normal now.
Week 5, week 6, things the league starts to take shape. Now we're just kind of learning how to walk at this point. Maybe we say dada or something. But we'll see. We'll certainly see. He hates his team in 2013, but he loved his team in 2003 and 2006 when he was the ROFFL champion. He is a newlywed, I'm sorry for you, my friend, Jason Cantor, on the ROFFL podcast. Thanks for coming on, pal.
I love it, Kira. Thank you.
All right, peace out.
ROFFL.